The World in Words
is made possible in part
by the National Endowment for the Humanities.
Hi, Patrick Cox here. It's The World in Words in Berlin. Yes, the movies. I haven't been to the movies here in Germany.
I have.
Sitting next to me, Veronika Zaragovia, currently living in Berlin.
I am. I've been to the movies here. And in fact, there's one I want to tell you about.
Können Sie sich ausweisen?
NASA, Sir.
Okay, Veronika, this is in German. What? Yeah, you're watching German movies?
I'm not at that level yet. It's actually an American film.
Sie berechnet alles, was sie wollen. Da drin war noch nie eine farbige. Blamieren Sie mich nicht.
Do you know, Patrick, which film it is?
No, I have no idea at all. What, Cinderella?
Not even close. It's Hidden Figures, that film about three brilliant black women who worked at NASA in the 1960s. So my friend Rob and I wanted to see Hidden Figures earlier this year.
So you guys chose to see it in German?
No, in English, of course. And so how it went, I just breezily messaged Rob, oh, let's go see this movie later today. I'll pick up some tickets. And he very quickly messaged me back to say, hold up, do you really want to see this movie in German?
Well, I mean, was there an alternative? You watch it within the original with subtitles? I mean, that's what I would do, I guess.
Yeah, but you need to know the code in the listings in order to see it with subtitles. It's got to say OMU, which is Original mit Untertitel, and that's original with subtitles. If those letters aren't there, you're going to be watching a bunch of American actors speaking German. Sort of.
Right. So what? Is it like a 50-50 thing? Are there as many dubbed showings as subtitle showings?
No, not at all. Most of the showings of foreign language movies in Germany are dubbed. And in fact, we ended up having to see Hidden Figures on a Monday evening because that was the only day that it was showing in English with subtitles.
Monday evening? That's crazy.
Yeah, and it got me wanting to understand why Germans love dubbed movies so much. And it's not just the movies. Most of the shows on TV or on Amazon and Netflix, all of those are dubbed too.
Okay. Nur den letzten nochmal. Das musst du als Zusatz, weißt du?
This is a dubbing studio I visited. It's called Eurosync. They're in the middle of doing the German track of an episode of The Walking Dead. I went there at night, appropriately, I guess.
Yeah. And there has Aaron. Aaron has Eric.
So the guy you're hearing, that's the director. And he's standing in front of a bunch of computer monitors and a big soundboard. And he's coaching an actress through a glass pane. If you know the show, she's the German voice of the character Rosita Espinosa.
Aaron hat Eric. Eugene hat ein großes Wissen.
The director approves her take.
Yeah.
And they move on to the next one. Fox Germany contracts with Eurosync to dub The Walking Dead. It costs, but it's worth it because that's what the market in Germany demands, German voices. So this...
So, if you didn't already have plans, I was thinking of making my beef jerky stroganoff.
Good, thanks.
Becomes this.
Sag mal, was hältst du davon, wenn ich aus meinem beef jerky beef stroganoff für uns mache?
Für mich nicht, danke.
I don't know why I'm laughing at this. It just is so absurd when you watch a movie when weird sounds come out of people's mouths that are slightly out of sync.
I hear you, but I gotta say, it's really serious stuff here in Germany. They don't just slap together Google translated dialogue and then have actors read cold. Most of it is really well translated. And then when the actors come in, they will record their lines over and over and over until it's nearly perfect. I talked to this guy, Bernd Kupke, about this. He's the manager at Eurosync.
In jedem Falle, Synchronsprecher werden aufgrund dieser unglaublichen Qualität.
Kupke told me that because of the quantity of the shows, voice actors are really in demand here. Studios are constantly on the lookout for talent.
Wow, it seems so unlikely that dubbing is so high status in Germany. I mean, how on earth did it get this way? And is it particular to Germany?
Yes, Germany certainly has its own story, and it goes way back to at least the first sound film, The Jazz Singer with Al Jolson. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That came out in 1927, and within a couple of years, Germany was showing movies with sound. And right away, they started dubbing foreign films. Even though moviegoers were used to subtitles, that was the only way you could present dialogue in silent movies. But dubbing was good for everyone. Germany was in terrible economic shape, and dubbing created jobs for actors. And then, of course, the Nazis took over in 1933, and they used dubbing to manipulate the content of foreign films.
Of course they would, right? It's so much easier to totally change the meaning of dialogue if you're doing it yourself.
Yeah, and it also promoted German identity to have only German voices.
Oh, right, right. So after the Nazis were defeated, what happened next after the war?
Well, German audiences were kind of used to dubbing by then, and Germany itself, it was occupied by foreign authorities. Here in Berlin, there were four zones, American, French, British, and Soviet, and they showed their own domestic films, but dubbed in German. And very few German films were being made at the time.
Oh, right. Yeah, they were totally broke.
Exactly. And then the country split. Soviet-occupied Germany became East Germany under communist rule. And just like under the Nazis, you could shape the message with dubbing.
Okay, so what about over in West Germany? Because, yeah, that was a democracy. They didn't need to shape their message, did they?
Well, actually, they did. The country was still traumatized by the war, by defeat, and of course, revelations of Nazi atrocities. And some German politicians and others in positions of power, they figured the best way to get over the trauma is to just ignore it and not discuss it. This is no longer the case, of course, but back then it was. I talked with Rolf Aurich about this. He's with the Deutsche Kinemathek. It's a museum for film and TV here in Berlin. And he told me it was pretty common to change the plots of foreign movies, especially war movies. Casablanca, for example, that was made in 1942, but it wasn't released in Germany until 1952.
Frühen 50er Jahren in Westdeutschland ins Kino gekommen ist.
Aurich says viewers didn't even know that Nazis had anything to do with the plot. Like in the dub version, the Czech resistance fighter, Victor Laszlo, he becomes Victor Larsen, a Norwegian scientist. And there's no Nazi officer chasing him, as in the original film. No Nazis at all. Then there's Alfred Hitchcock's Notorious. That was made in 1946 and also released in Germany in 1952. In the German dubbed version, ta-da, the Nazi scientist becomes a drug smuggler instead.
Und das finde ich so interessant gerade, weil es natürlich auch ein besonderes Licht.
Aurich says these storyline changes reveal an alternative Germany of the 1950s, a country that was still not able to confront its Nazi past. It wasn't until 1975 that West Germany released a dubbed version of Casablanca that stuck to the original plot.
Oder möchten Sie morgen nach Lissabon abreisen? Unter einer Bedingung?
Und die wäre?
Sie kennen die Führer der Untergrundbewegungen in Paris, in Prag, in Brüssel, in Amsterdam, in Oslo, in Belgrad, in Athen.
Sogar in Berlin.
Ja, sogar in Berlin.
Communist East Germany had one state-controlled film company, the Deutsche Film Aktien Gesellschaft. It was founded in 1946, initially as a reaction to Nazi propaganda films, though it soon started creating its own propaganda. Over the next few decades, the company dubbed nearly 7,000 films from all over the world. And then sometimes, East and West Germany each dubbed the same film or TV series, like this one, a Norwegian crime show called Olsenbande. The funny thing about this one was that the East German dubbed version is considered the superior one because they put more time into it and so it just sounds a lot better, and it was a hit in East Germany. West Germany's version flopped over there. In 1990, after the two Germanies reunified, the tone changed. Dubbed films and TV shows were full of references to Nazis, some serious, some funny. When Seinfeld was dubbed to German in the 1990s, they left the soup Nazi in it.
Bestellverfahren. Alle Leute nennen ihn insgeheim den Suppen-Nazi.
Wieso?
Also in the 90s came Hogan's Heroes, that old American sitcom about Allied prisoners in a German POW camp. The show had run in the U.S. from 1965 to 1971, but the first dubbed version in Germany only arrived in 1992. Viewers ignored that one until a really successful voice actor and producer, Rainer Brandt, was hired to redub it. And it was broadcast again and retitled Ein Käfig voller Helden, or A Cage Full of Heroes. The Germans, of course, are depicted as inept losers, but German audiences loved it.
Und da habe ich gesagt, in Amerika hast du die Arbeiten viel mit ihrem
mit dem Akzent.
In this video interview on a site called Retro TV, Brandt says he figured if Americans have such a mix of accents, why not mix up different German accents in the show? It would be easier that way to caricature the German officers running the POW camp.
Und so haben wir die ganzen Dinger dann gemacht und dann dementsprechend die Texte völlig verändert.
Brandt says in one episode, the Germans are planning to drop bombs on London. But in this dubbed version, he adds a joke. They talk about dropping condoms instead of bombs as a little birth control method to stop the Brits from multiplying. And then there was Heil Hitler.
This is General von Himmelberger of the Führer's staff. Heil Hitler!
Heil Hitler!
Brandt, of course, didn't need to translate this, it was in German already, but instead of saying Heil Hitler, his characters often say totally absurd things, like, this is how high the cornflowers grow.
Heil Kräuter!
Heil Kräuter!
Guten Tag, ich bin Oberführer Heilsdorf, Heil Schnitzler!
Heil Schnitzler, or something else equally ridiculous.
Heil Lilly!
Heil Hitler!
In Ordnung!
Heil Hitler!
Nur freilich, was denn sonst?
Wow, Veronica, it's like they're making it better than the original. The humor's more sophisticated.
Yeah, it's a great example of how Germans view dubbing as an art form. And it's not just about adding jokes. The lip syncing is taken much more seriously here, too. The German words fit the screen actor's lip movements much more closely than you often see in dubbed films. So it's not surprising to hear a comment like this.
If you want to do it good, it will be a complete piece of art again afterwards.
This is Clemens Frohmann. He's a dubbing director who's based here in Berlin. He directed the dubbing of Martin Scorsese's latest film, Silence, about 17th century Portuguese missionaries in Japan. He and his colleagues went to look for Japanese actors all over Germany because they wanted them to do the dubbing so that they speak German with an accent, just like you have actors in the original version speaking English with a Japanese accent.
Und der Herr sprach zu ihnen, geht hin in alle Welt. Und prediget das Evangelium aller Kreatur.
Sometimes the original film director will check out the German version and give feedback. Woody Allen, for example, he had the same German voice dub his parts for years.
Kann ich Sie mit einem Kaugummi erfreuen?
Ach, lieber nicht. Hey, nicht so. Nein. Achten Sie lieber auf den Verkehr. Ach,
this is from Annie Hall. The German title was Der Stadtneurotiker, or The City Neurotic. Woody Allen liked his German voice doppelganger until recently.
And then he did To Roam With Love. That was a movie where he acted, after a longer time, acted again himself, not just directed. And we did the trailer. And he sent back the trailer and said, well, I think I'm afraid you have to change my voice. He's getting too old now.
So much work is involved in the dubbing that the industry used to get recognition through the Deutsche Preis für Synchron, or German Prize for Dubbing.
Als beste weibliche Sprecherin schob die Jury einen echten Leinwandstar nach vorne.
Jasmin, this is the award ceremony in 2008.
Stimme der Edith Piaf in La Vie en Rose.
Frohmann was on the jury in 2010. That year they gave a prize to Beate Klöckner, who'd written the German version of a French film, Bienvenue chez les Ch'tis. Klöckner faced a unique challenge. Some of the original French dialogue wasn't exactly French. It was a combination of French plus a bunch of invented words.
No, on dit pas moi, on dit mi, on dit pas toi, on dit ti.
Voilà.
Klöckner had to somehow recreate this in German.
Nein, man sagt nicht ich, man sagt is, und man sagt nicht du, man sagt du da.
Genau.
It's totally artificial, but it works, it's funny. You like the movie, the people like the movie. The other way, French with subtitles, I can promise you not more than 40,000 people would have seen it, and so it was like 8 million, if I remember that right.
Kevin Ercolani is an aspiring actor. He's in his early 20s and recently recorded a demo tape he sent out to get voice work.
Hi, my name is Kevin. Ich liebe das Entdecken unbekannter Welten.
Kevin's here with his voice teacher, Katarina Kozny, at her dubbing academy on a Sunday afternoon. Okay. He's not just an aspiring actor, he's an aspiring voice actor. It's a career with plenty of opportunities, it's well paid, and it's not just a job, it's really rewarding.
I just do it because I love it.
Kevin moved here from Switzerland. He's pretty serious about making it in this business.
I went to see a therapist. I went to see a communication trainer. I went to see a painting trainer, you know, the one who tells you what she sees in your painting so you get to know yourself better. I take singing lessons. I meditate a lot. I write a lot. It's all part of the process, you know, to get to know your instrument, yourself.
Part of the appeal of voice acting is just that, learning how to express emotions through just one part of you. That's what appeals to Nadine Heidenreich. She's the actress we heard before, working on The Walking Dead.
It's like acting just with your voice. It's hard and, yeah, it's a concentration thing. I really like it that you have to be focused and concentrated. And you can do so many things that I would never be able to do as an actor in front of the camera.
Ich habe mich immer schon gern gewaschen.
This is Nadine too.
Ich habe gern gebadet. Ich habe gern geduscht.
Patrick, do you know who she is here?
No. Can you play it again?
Sure.
Ich habe mich immer schon gern gewaschen. Ich habe gern gebadet.
No idea.
Okay, let's see if this helps.
I've always loved getting clean. I love baths. I love showers.
Oh, Piper Chapman in Orange is the New Black.
Yep, you got it.
It's my happy place.
Nadine also dubs voices on Santa Clarita Diet, Tarzan and Jane, and Fuller House. She's a ton of different characters, what with people watching so many shows on Netflix and Amazon and other streaming services.
Because of the streamings, there's much more work, so that's good.
But there's a problem too now.
It's too quick, and it's you don't have that much time to do a good quality sometimes.
And so that very aesthetic that the German dubbing industry prides itself on may just be being chipped away at. Some critics have started saying that the standards are slipping. And also, Germans speak much better English these days, especially the young people. There's a fear that one day people are just not going to want dubbed content anymore. But then you look at the flip side, Patrick, and you think dubbing's not going to disappear. Amazon Germany recently released a new German show in more than 200 countries. It's called You Are Wanted.
Ist alles okay, Ben?
Sieht so aus. Ich bin über ihren losen Teppich gestolpert. Kann man ihn nicht fixieren?
You can watch You Are Wanted on Amazon Prime in the US, guess what? Dubbed into English.
Are you all right?
You think so? I tripped on a loose end of your carpet. You should fix that.
They spent a lot of money to dub it in New York. Amazon has already approved the show's second season.
Wow, so potentially we could be watching German TV stars, but hearing them as Americans, which kind of is totally weird because there are already these German-speaking stars in American movies like, you know, Christoph Waltz, right? Won an Oscar and of course, Arnie. I mean, it would be totally weird to suddenly have them dubbed.
Yeah, it doesn't work so well the other way. But take someone like Bruce Willis. He's huge over here in Germany, has been for years. His persona isn't based on his voice. It's based on a guy who speaks German. You know, I watched a film he's in, Pulp Fiction, you might know it. I watched it in German. It's crazy because to me, this voice is so foreign. It's not the Bruce Willis that I know.
Tut mir echt leid, Floyd.
Was ist das für ein Gefühl?
Was ist was für ein Gefühl?
Wow, I'm really kind of disoriented by all of this. I mean, first of all, I had no idea that anyone thought of dubbing as a high-end art, and for that matter, that there'd be any kind of industry attached to it. I associate it with, you know, like in the past, all bad lip-syncing in kung fu movies, stuff like that. I really need to give this a second chance.
Yeah, I think you do. The experience is much better than you think it's going to be. And I heard a really good argument in favor of dubbing. It comes from veteran dubbing actor Dietmar Wunder. He's really big here. He's the voice of a ton of stars, Daniel Craig, Adam Sandler, Jamie Foxx, Don Cheadle, etc., etc. Here's what he told me.
For me, when people ask me from other countries, why do you dub? I mean, we can just read the subtitles. I say, you know what? Try to imagine you have a film with a foreign language that you don't understand. Of course, you can read subtitles, but then you're not anymore in the film because you always have to take a part of you outside to read. So you cannot follow the whole thing, what was built up from the director, so that you have to leave the magic from the film for a moment. And dubbing in a language that you understand is a chance to stay in the film.
Okay, I can sort of buy that. It's true that subtitles do take you away from being in the drama. And I suppose that really, really skilled dubbing, if you can kid yourself somehow that this is the original, I guess that could be more immersive. But you just mentioned there, Veronica, the actors that this guy dubs, some of them are white guys and some of them are black guys. I mean, Dietmar Wunder, is he? What is he? Is he white or black?
Oh, he's white.
Is that commonplace? Is it like white guys do all the dubbing?
Yeah, pretty much. There will be rare occasions when a studio will seek out non-whites, like in the case of Scorsese's Silence that I mentioned earlier. But otherwise, it's really not a thing. And there are reasons for that. Like, there aren't many black Germans. But yeah, to you and me, it seems a little weird. Not to Dietmar Wunder, though.
We try to always find the best. It has to, should sound as similar as possible to the original voice. And maybe because my voice, Charles Rettinghaus, is Jamie Foxx's voice. Sometimes there's a little bit like risp. It's not crispy, the voice, but it's broken a little bit, my voice. And so maybe it fits to the original voices of Cuba Gooding Jr. or Don Cheadle. I never think, wow, this is a black guy, I'm white. I'm just like following his performance. And it's interesting, when I leave the studio and had the whole time a black guy in front of me, or Daniel Craig or Adam Sandler, white guy, and I look in the mirror, all of a sudden I see my face, it's a little bit like disturbing. You think like, whoa, that's the way I look. So I just take over the performance and try to make it as believable as possible, but I never think about like color. But it's interesting, I think there's only one artist in Germany, his name was actually Daniel White, and he was a black guy, you know, African-American. But it's interesting that most of the actors who speak or perform black actors from the original version are white people, I would say.
Okay, that may sound offensive to some in the US. Like, the studio and the industry, they're just not bothering to recruit black German actors. But as you say, there aren't really that many native German-speaking black people here, right? There's only just one black voice actor.
Yeah, pretty much. And guess what, Patrick? I was able to get in touch with him, with Daniel White, by phone, and we had a conversation about this. He mentioned exactly what you just said to me. He told me how a long time ago, an American director said to him, "Why is it that white actors dub a black actor from American films in Germany? That must make African Americans really angry." And White said to him that here in Germany it's possible because Germans just don't care. They don't have a lot of African Germans in their population, especially not decades ago, and they haven't really had the conscience raising that we've had in the United States from the civil rights era through today.
Huh. So what's his story?
So he lives in Germany because he's German. His father, though, was a U.S. soldier stationed in Germany in the early 1960s, and his mother was German. He told me he's been an actor for about 20 years and now works with youths in theater projects.
So why isn't he acting anymore?
Well, he says it's impossible for him to make a living as an actor. They still don't cast black actors to dub black American actors. And forget about acting on screen. He says casting agents and directors won't choose him to play a doctor or a boyfriend because they tell him that German viewers won't want to see a black man in that role. You know, Germans have watched the struggle for racial justice in the U.S. from afar, but they don't recognize it in their own country because there just aren't that many black people living here.
This kind of brings us back to Hidden Figures, right? A movie very much about African Americans which you and your friend wanted to see with subtitles, and I suppose it started the whole thing, right, for you.
Yeah, exactly.
So having found out about the whole history of dubbing here in Germany, would you watch it dubbed? I mean, or hold out for that inconvenient time on a Monday when the subtitle version is on?
Okay, Patrick, this is a tough one. I'm not German, and I didn't grow up watching anything dubbed. And so, to be honest, I'm going to take subtitles on a Monday evening instead.
Oh, no. You're not to take one for the team.
But I have to say, my mediocre German could certainly use a practice. And having done all this reporting, I'd certainly be willing to watch dubbed films in Germany to observe just how good they really are at it here.
Okay, all right. I may hold you to that. For me, I'm going to stick to subtitles. I only know a couple of sentences in German, one of which actually was spoken to me several decades ago, just a very short way away from here where we're recording this podcast. I was going on vacation to what was then Czechoslovakia. I was living in Denmark, and we had to go through East Berlin, change trains. We had an 8-hour layover in East Berlin. It's in February. The snow's coming down. We're like, what are we going to do for 8 hours? We're all three of us are very young. We're wearing all this kind of punk gear. We obviously look Western. We got like leather jackets on and crazy hair and all of this kind of stuff. And so we walk from Berlin Ostbahnhof, the East Station, just to go out and try and find a cup of coffee and kill the 8 hours that we have to wait for our train to Prague. And so we walk up to Alexanderplatz, famous square in the heart of Berlin, and there's absolutely no one there. There's no coffee shop. There's nothing open. I mean, it's just the whole place is deserted. And we're just like standing there in the snow, wondering what to do. So we get out our map and start trying to figure out where the kind of commercial center of town is. And these two women walk past us. One is pushing a stroller, and they see us Westerners staring at this map, trying to work out where to go. And one says to the other, "Sie wollen nach Amerika gehen." They want to go to America. And I was just like, wow. This is East Germany, the place where like humor goes to die. And then suddenly there's a line like that that made the three of us just burst out into laughter. I mean, it was just so great.
Wow, what a story.
So that's my German. Sie wollen nach Amerika gehen. I can't do another sentence. Well, we have photos and videos in the show notes for this episode. They're at pri.org/language. You can get there via Facebook if you like. There's a World in Words page. We're also on Twitter at LingoPod. We have a bunch of people to thank today. Veronica, you go first.
Okay. A big thank you to Rob Barrett, Marcus Pozimski, Chris Grafensteiner, Daniel Munch, Andreas Lademann, Mike Johnson, and Katarina Kozny.
Also, Uzair Ahmed, Louis Cronin, Jonathan Dyer, Jody Gersh, Robin Moore, Lauren Rothering, Rupa Shenoy, Tori Starr, Andrew Sussman, Tina Toby, Catherine Whalen, Mike Wilkins, and Veronica, because your last name starts with Z, you're last on the list, but you get the biggest thanks. Veronica Zaragovia, thank you so much for telling us all about German dubbing.
Vielen Dank, Patrick. It's been so much fun.
Hey, you could watch a dub movie with that kind of German.
I'll try.
Okay, bye-bye from Berlin. Thanks for listening.
The World in Words
is made possible in part
by the National Endowment for the Humanities.